people thought I was a great expert on space. And I wasn't. I mean, I got it out of books. It was mainly in my head, my science fiction. But I did get an invitation from the British Planetary Society to attend one of their meetings. I thought, my goodness, I couldn't do that. I mean, all these erudite people, these experts. And I wrote back and said, look, I'm not an expert in space. I'm only a science fiction writer. They wrote back, oh, we don't want you to lecture on space. We have our annual general meeting on Wednesday, and Wednesday is the night that Journey into Space is on, and we thought you could tell us what happened in the episode that we're going to miss.
And it strikes me that it seems that you have a bit of a fascination for the red planet, Mars.
I looked at it quite often. I couldn't see much of it, but we could see the snow caps on the poles in my telescope, but it was, to me, the most interesting thing that I could see in my little telescope. Although, of course, if I looked at the moon, I saw much more. But I suppose I looked at the moon so often I wanted to change.
Journey into Space Force with Charles Chilton.
Space Force continues in the seventh dimension tomorrow night from 6 and again from midnight.
You're listening to BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, Peter Sellers in a fairy costume. Just one of the rare delights in this edition of Raise a Laugh from 1949.
Raise a laugh, raise a laugh. When you're feeling sad and blue, just raise a laugh and soon you'll find you're losing that problem. A smile will spread all over the town. Don't give in, try and win.
Don't be like a passport photograph.
Come on and meet Ted Ray. He'll chase your troubles away.
And raise a laugh,
Ted Ray.
Thank you. Thank you, boys and girls. I went down to Ascot last week. I walked back. What a shocking day I had. I don't mind losing my money, but when a horse in the third race comes over and says, well, had enough, that's too much. Straight from the horse's mouth. You know, the bookmakers are doing very badly lately. I feel so sorry for the poor bookmaker. You know what a bookmaker is, don't you? A bookmaker is a pickpocket who lets you use your own fingers. Yes, I know. I saw one young apprentice on a horse I fancied. I said, well, do you stand any chance, son? He said that, yeah, but I wish the horse didn't have a flat head. Poor kid, I didn't have the heart to tell him he was sitting the wrong way around. During the third race, I said to a fellow next to me, how's number 14 doing, old man? He looked through his glasses and he said, he's lying fourth, old boy. I said, good, do you think he'll win? He said, I don't think so, the jockey's lying seventh. Anyway, that's enough about racing. I went down to Smithfield Market yesterday. There was a shocking commotion going on. There was a live bull running about. You know, it's nice to see the meat chasing the men, isn't it? By the way, isn't it marvellous about Sammy the Seal swimming the channel? All they did was throw headings in front of him, and there he was. Ernie Bevan's going to try the Atlantic next week. They're going to throw dollar bills in front of him. When I was in America, I went to one of those Red Indian camps. You know, it's marvellous how they send messages by smoke signals. Really wonderful. There was one Red Indian rolling about, beating the ground with his fists and crying his eyes out. I said to the chief, what's he doing? Is it a war dance? He said, no. He's just found out that the girl he's been corresponding with for 7 years has turned out to be a volcano. The name was Etna. Anyway, fruit is getting a little bit scarce, you know. Fruit, don't you think fruit is getting scarce? It's been very good to see, but I saw a barrow boy in Westminster yesterday. I said, got any good dates under your barrow? He said, dates. I said, yes. He said, nah, dates. He said, you better ask Atlee. He's going to smash it up his sleeve. Friend of mine, very, very old, went for a holiday to the Isle of Wight. While he was there, he collapsed and passed away, poor fellow, so they brought him home. I went down to his house, and his wife said to me, would you like to see him? I said, yes. She said, there he is. I said, poor old Charlie. But he looks well, doesn't he? She said, well, he ought to. He's just had a fortnight's holiday in Shanklin. So long, I'll see you in a minute.
we're gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Harry. How you gonna keep them from Piccadilly jazzing around and painting the town? How you gonna keep them away from harm? That's a mystery.
They'll never want to see a rake-off plow, and who the deuce can folly do a cow?
How you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Perry?
Reuben, Reuben, I've been thinking, said his wife, be dear. Now that all is peaceful and calm, the boys will soon be back on the farm.
Mr. Reuben started winking and slowly rubbed his chin. He pulled his chair up close to Mother and he asked her with a grin, how you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Perry? How you gonna keep them from Piccadilly jazzing around and painting the town? How you gonna keep them away from harm? That's a mystery.
They'll never want to see a rake or plow, and who the deuce can folly boo a cow?
How you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Perry?
Thank you. Thank you, Boats and Bells. And next week the boys and girls will sing, I never pinch bulbs on the railway, and yet I'm badly treated. Thank you, sir. Did you ever go up in an aeroplane at night? Did you ever look down and see those millions of twinkling lights from the little houses below? Lovely little houses all over Britain. Ah, yes. But did you ever stop to think what's going on in those little houses? A cold war. Give up, boys. Don't struggle. You haven't got a chance. This is what happened to me last night as I arrived home from the office. The silly idiot! The stupid fool!
Wow, that's a nice way to talk to your wife.
Not you, darling, not you.
Oh.
I'm talking about Johnson from the office.
Oh, what did he do, dear?
Ah, it's my own fault, I suppose. He drove me home in his car, doing 45 in a built-up area.
Well, what happened?
We were gonged.
Gonged?
Yes, gonged. I'm talking about gongs, I must tell you this. Oh, that chump. That man, what an idiot. You know, he stopped. He stopped to buy a present for his wife.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you think he was going to buy?
What, darling?
A gong. A dinner gong. Pardon my cracked lip. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I soon talked him out of that.
Yeah, but Ted, you know, I think that's a very nice idea. You know, all the smart people have dinner gongs.
All the smart people have dinners.
Well, myself, I think it's a wonderful idea, darling. Just imagine. You'd come home from the office, then you'd pop into the bathroom to wash your hands, and then I'd ring the gong to let you know dinner's ready.
Listen, listen. If a dinner's cooked properly, I can smell it. I don't have to hear it.
Well, Ted, it would look awfully nice hanging in the hall.
Now, listen, Kitty, just let's get one thing figured out before we go any further. If ever you bought one of those things, I'd hang you in the hall. Now, where's my evening paper?
Well, here it is, dear.
Ah, that's it. What a day I've had. Oh, dear, am I glad to be home. Now, what's this? Joey Brown eats a banana sideways. He could do it, too, could Joe? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with a gong?
I don't like them.
Well, why not?
I don't like them.
Well, why not?
My mother was frightened by a boxer. Now, be quiet, dear, and let me read the paper. I've had a hard day.
Well, just think, darling. I'd bang the gong every time there was a big, juicy steak for you.
Who wants a gong you only ring four times a year? Let's have a look now. What's this? Oh, Princess Elizabeth Horse one, eh? That's nice.
Ted, darling.
Oh, what is it?
Although you don't like gongs, you do love me, don't you?
Yes, dear.
And you know I wouldn't do anything to hurt you?
Yeah. You're the most wonderful person in the world, darling. The most beautiful, the most sensible, the most efficient and pleasant wife a man could ever wish to have. Now, will you shut up and let me read the paper?
How dare you speak to me like that, you beast? I can't bear to be in the same room with you.
Women. Women. What have I done now? I just want to read my paper and she goes up in the air. What's that? Who did that? Kitty, what was that noise? Who did it?
It was me, beating my gong.
Beating your gong?
Yes. You see, I bought one. Here it is, and I'll do it again.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I've got my plate. Get out. That's all I needed. Ooh, but I've come to answer the gong. Well, beat it.
I'm sorry, Nelson, dear. Dinner isn't ready yet.
Well, it's not fair. Building up my hopes. Look, I'm dribbling.
Well, go and sign on for Chelsea.
What do you say?
I said, go and sign on for Chelsea.
Why, a mean lot. That's what you are.
Now, you see what you've done? See what you've done? We'll never have a moment's peace with him. Oh, well, so you've done it, eh? You've bought one.
Yes.
How much?
Well, it's mounted in oak.
How much?
And it gives a beautiful note, dear.
How many beautiful notes did you give?
£4.19 and 6.
£4.19 and 6. Give me strength.
Oh, are you angry, Ted?
No, darling, no. Just furious.
What a waste of money.
Oh, but Ted, darling, I...
Ah, you've been going to the pictures too much. Who strips to the waist to beat it, Nelson or me?
I thought you'd like it. I thought you wouldn't mind.
Well, I don't, and I do.
You want me to return it? You don't approve?
Yeah, I do, and I don't. Oh. But get one thing straight, Kitty. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pay for it.
Oh, but just look at it, Ted. It's beautiful. It was made by a brass finisher.
A brass finisher?
Mm-hmm.
I married one.
Yes.
£4.19 and... I have to work like 2 men for that.
Yes, dear.
In fact, I work like 4 men.
I know you do, dear.
Yeah. You know what I am?
No, Ted.
I'm the Radio Revelers. Oh. 4 men, 1 gong. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Kitty. You're not going to get me to pay for it.
But it's only once in a lifetime.
I don't care. I'm adamant.
You're what?
Adamant. I don't know what it means, but that's what I am.
But, darling, I tried to tell you. I just couldn't get down to it.
You should be down to it now, on your knees, begging for mercy.
But I don't want mercy.
Then get on your knees and beg for something else.
Well, Ted, it's a bargain.
A bargain. A bargain, she says. £4.19 and 6, a bargain. For another 10 bob, we could have got the Dagenham Girl Pipers. With flutes.
I'm sorry, Ted.
I know what's done this. I know the cause of all this. Rebop. That's it. The modern music. £4.19 and 6 to let us know we're having our dinner. I'll clear the attic out and have bells fitted.
Bells?
Yes, then we'll hire a team of bell ringers and let the neighbours know we're having our dinner.
Ted, there's one thing I'd like to ask you.
Yeah, I know. For me to pay the bill when it comes. Well, listen. You bought it, they sent it, we've got it, and you've had it. Nothing will make me pay for that gong.
But I've already paid for it.
Oh, yes? Mm-hmm. Well, where did you get the money?
Well, I was out shopping and I met Mrs. Higgins.
Mrs. Higgins?
Yeah, you see, she lent me the £5.
Kitty, You borrowed £5 knowing you couldn't pay it back?
Yes, Ted.
That's a clever girl. Well, you're not getting me to pay it.
You mean you just won't pay it?
No. You made your own bed, now you can butter it on both sides.
There you are, you see, that's what I get for being a good wife. My mother always said I should never have married you.
What? Your mother tried to stop me from marrying you?
That's right.
Oh, how I've wronged that woman.
Oh. I know. You don't love me anymore.
Of course I love you anymore. It's Mrs. Higgins I don't love. She encourages you. Well, she can just whistle for the fiver.
But, Ted, don't you see, it wasn't her money. She borrowed it off her husband. And, well, I said I'd pay it back tonight.
Pay her back tonight? Well, you're not getting the money out of me. Wait a minute. Where did Sam Higgins get £5? He's owed me a fiver for 12 months.
Well, you see, he's...
Oh, wait a minute. It's like being trying to get blood out of a stone with him. But wait. I see the light. Mrs. Higgins got it from him instead.
Uh-huh.
You got it from Mrs. Higgins.
That's right.
Do you know what you've done, Kitty?
What, darling?
You've got my long-lost fiver back. That's a clever girl.
Oh. Well, thank you, Ted.
What a wife. Mm. What a lucky man. What a clever girl. You've got what you want, and I've got... Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I haven't got any money. I haven't got my fiver. You know what's happened to me?
What, darling?
I've been gonged.
We bring you melody from out of the sky, my brother and I.
Hello, everyone. This is Bob and Alf Pearson. Our melody this week tells, for the first time, the story of that lucky old son.
Up in the morning, out on the job, work like the devil for my pay. But that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Toil for my woman, fight for my kids, sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray, while that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Good Lord above, can't you know I'm pining? Tears all in my eyes. Send down that cloud with a silver lining. Lift me to paradise. Show me that river. Take me across, wash all my troubles away. Like that lucky old son, give me nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Oh Lord, I'm tired and weary of pain. Please, Lord, forgive me if I complain. Up in the morning, out on the job, I work like the devil for my pay.
But that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day.
Oil for my woman, I fight for my kids, sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray.
While that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Good Lord above, can't you know I'm pining? Tears all in my eyes. Send down that cloud with a silver lining. Lift me to paradise.
Show me that river. Take me across. Wash all my troubles away. Like that lucky old son, give me nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Roll around heaven all day.
And now we present Ted Reyes George, the man with a conscience. The long-suffering Mr. Rivers, editor of the Daily Bugle, is once more forced to send George out on an important mission.
You sent for me, Mr. Rivers?
Aye, I did, George. Tell me, do you know anything about motor cars?
Well, the girl I was out with last night said I had a very fierce clutch.
Really?
Yes.
What's she like?
Gin and Yanks.
Oh, well, never mind. Never mind that at all now. I've got a job to do. I've got to improve my circulation.
Shall I rub your legs?
Aye. Don't rub them too hard. What the... What are you talking about?
Sorry, sir. Sorry, Mr. Rivers. I'm sorry.
Now, look here. Yes. Get down to the motor show and bring me back a full report.
Motor show? Oh, yes. Oh.
What's the matter?
I'm not a very good driver.
Oh, nonsense. You're the best driver I've ever seen.
I am?
Yes, you're driving me crackers. Now, get out.
This one for the motor show. Overseas boys, aren't they?
Well, I'm from California.
Straight through, Senator. Immediate delivery.
Say, I'm from New York Broadway.
Straight through, Governor. Immediate delivery.
I'm from Tooting Broadway.
Come back in 3 years.
Oh, dear. Overseas buyers only. I'll never get in.
George.
Yes, Conscience?
It's your own fault you can't get in.
Why? What did I do?
You won the war.
Yeah. Yeah, but I must get into the motor show.
You'll have to disguise yourself as an American.
How am I going to do that?
Put on your horn-rimmed glasses and knock off that Boy Scout's hat.
That's a good idea. Oh, Sonny.
Yes, sir?
Have you done your good deed for today, son?
Yes, sir. I hugged an old lady across the road.
That's a good boy.
Yes, and it wasn't easy either. She didn't want to go.
Well, that's nice. Well, would you like to do your good deed for tomorrow?
Yes, please.
Well, lend me your hat.
Yes, sir. Dip, dip, dip.
Dob, dob, dob. Oh, and Sonny.
Yes, sir.
Here's fourpence. Go and wash your knees. Well, Conscience, how's that? In this hat and horn-rimmed glasses, I feel like Truman.
Yes, you've created a precedent.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have. Well, here I go.
Don't forget to speak with an American accent.
Right, I'll put a clothes peg on my nose.
This wife for the mountain show overseas, boys, Alec.
Well, I swow. Gee willikers, you all. Shut my mouth. This am the best little old motor show in the whole wide world. Yes, sirree.
Ah, oh, good morning, sir. We're always glad to see the Russians.
Well, well, what a wonderful show.
Wonderful, George. Look at that streamlined chassis.
You mean that lovely drop head?
No, that lovely redhead. Go on. Go over and test her batteries.
Oh, shut up. I've got a job to do.
Yes. Yes, and she's just the job.
Oh, quiet, quiet, you. I'll go and have a word with this salesman. Good morning, old boy.
Old boy, you're supposed to be an American.
Oh, yes, yes.
Hiya, neighbor. How is your war? I guess I got $15 million to kind of throw away around here.
$15 million? Oh, sir, how many cars will you take?
Well, I don't know.
Well, let's go and have a little drink and talk it over. Waitress?
Hello.
What will you have, sir?
Well, I guess I'll have a mint julep.
We ain't got any of them. You'll have to have a mild and bitter with a bit of lettuce stuck in it here.
Well, thanks, honey child. Regards.
Oh, regards. How many cars will you buy?
Well, I was thinking about 500.
500? Have another drink.
Why, sure. Regards.
Regards. Wonderful. And they're only $1,500 each.
$1,500? What do you think I am, sir? A carpetbagger, sir? I'll have you know I'm from Virginia.
No, Virginia, Turkish only.
Who is that woman? $1,500, sir? That's too cheap. I'm not buying roller skates. I'll try the next stanza.
I heard that, sir, and you're so right. Those cars are very shortage of.
Is that so?
Yes, and you know that if you blow the horn, the mudguards fall off.
You don't say so.
Oh, I do say so. And now I'll take our car, the Hardly Able.
The Hardly Able?
Yes, sir. One drives and four push, and it has no engine.
No? Well, how does it run, sir?
It runs on its reputation. Oh, now, how many would you like?
Well, I guess I'll...
Come and have a drink. Waitress?
Hello.
Oh, she's back again. Well, I'll have a white lady, yo all.
White lady? What do you think this is, the windmill? White lady, you'll have a brown ale.
But I don't like brown ale.
What did you say, sir?
Regards.
Regards, yeah.
How are you all feeling, sir?
Fine. Now then, sir, how about the cost?
How about another drink, yo
drink.
All?
Oh, yeah, yes, of course. Waitress?
Hello!
Bring me all a double whisker.
Double whisker? You aren't half going to get tight.
Regards.
Yes. Now, you know, our cars are very cheap, sir. Only
$2,000. $2,000? I'll put my bag of gold against your bag of gold any time, sir. I've a good mind to get the next paddle steamer out of here.
But sir, I mean...
Oh, shut up. $2,000. I'm not buying scooters, sir. I'll try the next four stands.
George.
What do you want, Constance, sir?
You've had a couple.
I know I have, you all.
You've got me tight as well.
You silly old Constance, it just serves you right. You shouldn't smell my breath.
Aha, an overseas bar. Now then, sir.
Now what about a drink?
Why, of course. Yes. Let's go into the cocktail bar. Mm-hmm. Now then, what's your pleasure, sir?
Blondes, but right now I'll have a scotch.
Oh, jolly good. Waitress.
Hello, waitress. You're a nice little girl, aren't you? What's your pretty little name?
Crystal Jollybottom, you thought.
Oh, come on. Come on, give us a kiss.
Me. You've caught me in it on the beer pump.
Oh, don't be like that. Come on.
Stop it. Oh, your program's sticking in me half-point measure.
Oh, come on, let's have some fun.
Oh, you're drunk, you are. I've been watching you.
Come on, give us another drink. Regards.
Oh, regards. How many cars will you buy, sir?
You've had one over the eight.
You mean one over the 18?
18 cars. Wonderful, sir. Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
What are you talking about? Don't be so silly. Cars? I can't afford any cars.
What?
I'm from the Bugle. The good old Bugler. Regards.
The Bugle? A newspaper man?
Yeah, a newspaper man.
You're not an overseas bar. You're an imposter, sir. Get out.
Okay, I'm going. I can take a hint. It doesn't need a house to fall on me, you know. I know what I'm not wanted. I can tell you that. And oh, Charlie, by the way.
What?
I can't even drive.
Get out.
Well, George, my lad, did you get the report of the... George, what are you doing in that condition?
Mr. Rivers, would you please stand still while you're talking to me?
Stand still?
Yes. Old man Rivers, you keep on rolling along.
By gumlada, you'll be sorry for this. Where do you think you've been?
Oh, I've had a wonderful day. A wonderful day. I've been to the Brewers Exhibition. You never saw so many cars in your life.
For this week, boys and girls, how that old clock does go round. We'll be with you next week when once more we'll help you to
raise a laugh, raise a laugh. Don't be like a passport photograph.
Gloomy days soon will pass. Come on, folks, raise up your glass
and raise a laugh.
You have been listening to Ted Ray in Raise a Laugh with Kitty Blewett, Bob and Alf Pearson, the Bows and the Bells, Fred Yule, Peter Sellers, Patricia Hayes, and Leslie Behrens. The dance orchestra was conducted by Stanley Black. The program was written by Eddie McGuire and Ted Ray. Production by George Innes.
And next week, Kitty suspects Ted is having an affair. That show was first broadcast on the 15th of November, 1949. Our epic drama, Vivat Rex, depicting 200 years of the English monarchy, as told by the likes of Shakespeare and Marlowe, moves towards its thrilling finale on 4 Extra. The power struggles and the politics continue with King Henry VIII questioning the loyalty of those around him.
Wolsey.
Heaven forgive me. Ever God bless your highness.
'Tis well said. And 'tis a kind of good deed to say well. And yet words are no deeds. My father loved you. Read this paper. And after these. And then to breakfast with what appetite you have.
In celebration of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee and featuring John Gielgud, Sian Phillips and Richard Burton, Vivat Rex continues on 4 Extra weekday mornings from 10 and again in the afternoons at 3.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 9 o'clock. Good morning. This is Susan Ray with Family Drama. I know every Sunday morning in every household can be a family drama, but our family dramas are designed to help you escape from your family drama, you see? With that in mind, we have the last part of a very fine radio production of Peter Pan, followed by those charming young thespians in The Swish of the Curtain. And in an hour, David Attenborough in Desert Island Discs, Long Play. Now, in this beguiling adaptation, there's a battle to be won and children to be delivered home in the final part of Peter Pan.
Peter Pan by J.M. Barrie, dramatised in 4 acts by Philip Glassborough. Act 4, Spring Cleaning Time Again.
Bilge rats, what are you waiting for? Over the side with them, what's that?
Did you hear it? Smee? What? The croc's me. It's the croc. It's the croc. The
crocodile! Hide me! Shield me! Gold to the man who saves me!
All right. Come astern, Captain. But all stand round you and hide you. It seems to be boarding the sloop at the forecastle head. At the anchor line.
I smee high. Huddle close around me, bullies. Huddle. For pity's sake! Mayhap, my last hour. It's come.
Huddling commence. Commence huddling. Huddle, huddle. Huddle, huddle.
Boys, look, it's Peter. He's climbing up the rigging with the clock.
He's come to rescue us.
Shh, Michael, keep quiet. Peter, look out behind you. Wibbles of the eye patch.
No, and what have we?
Wibbles, farewell. Where are all the other pirates?
Up at the back, protecting Captain Hook from the croc. Wendy's tied to the mast over there. We're all chained up so we won't fly away. And we can't shift the padlocks on our wrists.
Looks as if these locks would open with a single key.
A key? There's a key in the captain's cabin. Over there.
I'll try and find it. As soon as you get a chance, come and join me in the cabin.
But how will we get a chance?
I'll think of something. Just wait and see. Well, here goes.
Listen, Smee.
I can't hear anything.
Precisely.
It's gone. Yes, there's not a sound anywhere.
Then here's to Johnny Plank.
Johnny Plank.
Hey. Yo-ho, yo-ho, the frisky plank. You walks along it so, till it goes down and you goes down to Davy Jones' beer.
We turn you on the way. Britain's never, never.
Want to touch of the cat before you walk the plank? Fetch the cat, Jukes. It's in the cabin.
Aye, aye, sir.
The cabin? But Peter's in the cabin, Michael.
I know.
What do you know, boy? What the cat is? Yo-ho, yo-ho, the scratching cat. Its tails are 9, you know. And when they're writ upon your back, you're fit to go below.
I can't see it, Captain. It's as dark as night here.
What?
was that?
It was horrible.
You're nearest the cabin, Checo. Huh? Investigate. Go on.
Si, Capitano.
What's the matter with Bill Jukes, your dog?
Oh, the matter with him is that he's dead. Stabbed.
Bill Jukes, a stab?
The cabin is as black as a pit. But there is something in there. Something terrible. The thing you heard the crowing.
Checo, go back and fetch me out that doodle-do.
No, Capitano. No. Capitano, no.